He showed me on here, on this map, I think I showed where my father built his house, or had the house built. Here's Bovell. And where's Main Street?
There.
This, yeah.
That's Main Street.
Well, you see, I don't know enough about it. That's a park. Well, then it would have been here on...
Yeah, that's where the saloons would have been, I think.
No. Here was the Main Street.
No, this is it.
Oh, this is Main Street here.
Right.
Well, where's the railroad? Over here?
Yeah, that's the railroad.
Oh. Well, then... That one first cafe was built right in here. And the pool room and the drugstore. Then it would have been here on 2nd. And that first mercantile was right in here. But my dad had a house built right in here, just over. There was just enough room for this Samuels to build his rooming house and dance hall. But before that, the first cafe in that town was built right here in this corner. Now, is that where the Sherman House is?
No, I think the Sherman House is this, number one.
Well, does it set right next to the railroad track?
Now this.
Here.
This is, okay.
Well, now isn't this the closest one to the railroad track? Well, then that's where the first cafe was.
And now, was it this building, or did they rebuild
it? I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. And a Lester Smith from Pluse, he was a cook. After we went up there, he built that. Fixed living quarters upstairs. And came down here to Potlatch, and it was a lady lived, just about a mile from Potlatch, or through there. He came down and married her, and it came back up, and they lived upstairs and ran that. They were still there when we left. Then
who cooked there? Did they?
He
have
did.
A,
he cooked. He was a cook. And then on down here, I don't know. Just it looks to me like it would be about in here.
So that would be that fourth.
Yeah. See, there was no buildings in here between.
Okay.
Mark Costigan put in a pool room, and he had a dance floor upstairs. Then on down a little ways farther, Mark Davis from Moscow put in a drugstore, and they lived upstairs. And that's all it was on Main Street when we left.
So it's just those three?
Just those three. I know it says in this book the first cafe there was by a Mrs. Bean, Johnny Mallory's wife's mother. Well, that was wrong. Because Lester built that building in there. I saw Johnny Sanderson up there last summer. And then, well, now then, let's see, I got that wrong again. Here. Then, our house, I think, would have been right in here.
So it was on 2nd Street, just off Cedar.
Yeah. Well, then on Cedar and facing south is where those two saloons were, side by side. My dad and Alec Black.
Now they weren't, I thought last time you said that they were just, now this is the Main Street.
Oh, this
Sherman
is the main
house.
Here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Now I thought you said that those.
Well, they were back of Main, yes,
oh,
that's
so
right.
They were right there.
Yeah,
okay.
They'd be right in here.
Oh, they were this far away.
Yeah,
okay.
They were, I don't know. They didn't have streets and alleys and things like that up there then. But they were in back, well, sort of between where this, give me your pencil, better this way. Now here was a rooming cafe, and in here was a pool room. And down here was a drugstore. All right, the saloons were, as nearly as I can remember, back in here. Mm-hmm. And then those body houses were way on down by the railroad track. Mm.
Can you draw in the rest of what there was in the town on that sheet?
Well, try it.
That would be good.
Well, let me see. We'll start here. And this is the railroad. The depot was about up here. Shall I put who built it?
No, it's all right to just put it in, because...
Cafe.
Yeah.
All right, and down here's pool room. And down here's the drugstore.
What did they sell in that drugstore? Was it just drugs?
Just drugs, mostly, yeah. As I remember. Mm-hmm. Then, we'll say this. Well, we'll put this in here. It would be an alley now. Mm-hmm. And right in, I don't remember exact locations, but right in here someplace were the two saloons. All right. Now, and Bovold's place was on up here. Mm-hmm. See? Well, in here, well, we'll put it like this as a street. And the first mercantile, Peter Johnson. Then right here was my folks' house. That was the first new house. After they opened the town up. Then later, before we left, right in here, here was this rooming house and dance hall.
Who put that in?
Samuels. Can't remember his first name. He's the one I told you he was a German. And he used to beat his wife so unmercifully, and she, one time after he'd give her such a beating, a couple of weeks or so later, she died. And then, let's see. This is Bovold's here. Well, here was their hotel here. And here was their store and post office. And they had living quarters upstairs. And over here was the hotel. Now, right back in here, there was a sort of a little hill down here. I'll put hill so you'll know what I mean. And here is the first schoolhouse.
Yeah, I remember you told a story last time about how you knew where it was.
Yeah, I could go right up there and show you if I were up there. And Mame Rodner was the first teacher. She's from Moscow. The second one was Thomas Nevitt. He married Ernie Smith's sister. Do you want that put down?
Okay. Do you remember anything about Mamie Rodner?
Oh, yes. She was a very good friend of my mother's. She was one of these, what I'd call a stately-looking woman. She had kind of a bluish-gray eyes, and her hair was a little bit curly. She always wore it in a pompadour. She and Sophie Elliston, they called her up there, were very good friends. Sophie was cook at Bovold's at the hotel. Sophia Berg. I I remember, he says in his book, there was some sweet girls came in. Well, Sophie was already there. And by the way, this Mabel Nevitt lives in Clarkston. And then, oh, I haven't got enough room here. Should have done that different.
You just line them up side by side.
Well, wait a minute, I'll get a clean sheet. This is Ben Rayburn. Now, let's see. Here's Bovold's. Well, up here, Mrs. Stockwell. I don't remember first name. I just think, and now I'm going to count her daughters. See, there was Etta. She died not long ago in Clarkston, 90-some-odd years old. There was Etta and Minnie and Vida and Bessie and Clara and Mary. Oh, no, Helen. I got to write that down to get them straight. Let's see, Etta, Minnie, Vida, I think Helen come in there next, I'm not sure, Helen, Bessie, Mary, Clara, and Opal. Let's see.
Do they have any boys?
Yeah. Jim, and Carlton. But just where they come in, I don't know. That's why I can't understand Millie saying that she moved in there and opened up a steam laundry. Well, she opened up a boarding house when she first came.
Now, who is this?
This Mrs. Stockwell. Nellie Wood says in there she opened up a steam laundry and she worked there. As I told Mr.
Miller,
I said, I can't understand why, because those girls all helped her in the boarding house, why she'd hire somebody else, because she didn't have that kind of money. She opened up a boarding house there for the lumberjacks, you know, when they come into town and eat. She was really a wonderful woman.
What kind of woman was she?
She was a tiny little woman, and I think she came from someplace around Derry. I don't remember. Her husband had died, and she came up there. She was on a farm, and she sold it, and she came up there and built this place. Of course, that house isn't there now. I've looked for that. Later on, T.P. Jones built one almost on the same spot. And she was there when we left. In fact, she has one daughter still living, but she's in a nursing home. Eight daughters and two sons. In fact, I could write the names down if necessary. Then on up above that, there was no houses until you got up here to Collins. And that picture in the paper, this one here, if I can find it. I wonder, well, let's see if we can find it in the index.
I think I know the picture you're talking.
This is the way it looked when we went there. Dad drove, we drove up in a hack. We had that old corduroy road and Dad stopped. We kids had to lay down on our back to see the top of the trees. Let's see.
Now, there were lots of trees in Bowlville itself, too, right?
Not right. Well, there's a few there in the town, but they were right down just in back of Bowlville's place there and in back around where the school was.
So there was a natural meadow where the town went in.
Well, let's see. I wonder if I can find that. Mrs. George Wiley, my sister, she was a Smith. My sister chummed with her. She's in a rest home in Clarkston. Mm-hmm. Let's see now if I can find that one. I'll look when we get through here and see if I can find the one of the girls in their, the first basketball team there. So, Johnny, let's see. New Eamon Blues. Miss Dudley Hobbs, she was from Princeton originally. That's Helmer. Now, I wonder where I would find that.
I think it might be the other way.
This other way?
No, but near the center here. Oh. Let me try.
All right, see if you can find it.
I know the picture, I'm pretty sure.
He said the family's name was unknown. It was Wheelers. Hmm. I can remember that. What the first name was, I don't know. And it says in there, Marie Parker said she used to watch the fights at the saloon, and Pat Malone took care of them. Well, Pat, they didn't have a cop when we were there. Pat came, I knew Pat afterward, but not then.
Well, I can't find it now either, but I know the picture. There's a little cabin that just sits in the middle of the trees.
Yes.
And it says something about it.
I also remember the first Depot agent's name. That's in my album, Frank McAllister. And I'm not sure about what Vita Stockwell didn't marry him, but I wouldn't say for sure.
No, I give up.
Yeah, let me see.
I don't know.
See if I can. Here, I wonder if we can find it in here. Here's Arlie Smith and Winnie and Bill. Yeah. I want to look for Collins. Right. Oh dear. Maybe I'll tell if you in the picture of Collins. Collins, a homesteader, 756. Wait, we'll try him this way. Here's 7. It isn't in that one. 56. Here's the Collins store. Here it is. No, that's, that was up there.
That's what the picture looks like.
At Collins, yeah. Teacher's Mrs. Crawford. Well, that's, I didn't know they had a school up there then, but they evidently did. 56, wait a minute, what did I say that was? 56, 57, and 58. Well, this is 57. Here, that's it. That okay. Was,
people. That's page 58.
Yeah. Okay. It was Wheelers.
They were up there when you were?
They were there when we moved there, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did your father get the idea to move to Bowlville?
Well, I don't know. My father liked to move. We just lacked, what was it, 13 days or something like that of moving 4 times 1 year. He liked to move. And he'd had this saloon in Princeton 4 years. And Bowlville opened up the town, and they just figured he figured it was going to be a good deal. It was, too.
Now, who was the friend that he convinced to
go? Alec Black. And he also had a saloon in Princeton there where my dad did. Mm-hmm. And they both went up there. And I don't know just where Alec went to after he left. I think he left before we did, as I remember rightly.
Was the railroad in when you moved up there?
Just the WINM. They put that in. And we came back down to Princeton and moved there. That's how I say I know that Parker's wasn't up there then, because Marie was in school. You know something? We were in Princeton, and they were having a baseball game. Anyway, it was, can't remember where it was. Not too far from the railroad track, we were playing Potlatch. There used to be quite a rivalry between Princeton and Potlatch. And that log train came down. Let's see, I think they had four engines on it. And it was 105 cars. And I had a book one time about yay big, the longest log train in the world, and it showed that.
When was that? Was that before you went up to Baltimore?
Oh, no. No, it's after we came back. That's shortly. I don't know whether we were even living in Princeton then or not. I know I used to be up there a lot, but I know I was at that baseball game. And when it was, I can't remember.
That must have been 09 or 10.
Yeah, but that was the longest, they call that the longest log train in the world.
Mm-hmm. Was that really unusual to have one that long?
Oh, yes. They used to have some pretty long trains, but nobody ever saw one that long. And it seems to me that they had, I think, I'm almost sure that they had four engines on that. And the ball game stopped to watch that. Well, now let's see, where were we? Now that, as I say, I don't know where that was.
Do you know any of the people in it?
I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll take it then.
Probably
since,
won't need it.
You know,
no.
We don't know what it's about.
Uh-uh. Well, and then, like I said, the first year we were up there then, that winter, the first winter, George Hayes' family, from Princeton, moved up there. Then there was a Jobs family. They were also from Princeton. And Rogers. They were relations to the Jobses, but I don't know what. And that Smith, I don't remember what his name was. That was Florence Wiley's father. Let's see, Hayes's, Jobs's, Rogers, Smith's, and Woods, it's Nellie's folks.
Were most of the men of the family logging? Is that why they moved up? Or?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember. See, there was two grown boys of the Hayes family, and I think they were logging. Just married Bess Stockwell. After we left there years later, he died of dropsy. Frank did have a lunch counter up there at one time, they said. I imagine they were logging, what they were doing, working in the camps. Now I'm trying to think. Hayes, Jobs, Rogers, Smith, and Woods. Maybe I'll think of it. Well, that first year we were there, as I told you, they had this dance hall up over Mark Costigan's pool wall. And we had the only organ in town. And they'd want to dance. Bunch of them lumberjacks, I suppose, get downtown. And so they'd come up and take the top off our organ, put it on a sled, and take it down there and put it up there. And, you know, for the life of me, I can't remember who played the organ, but I do know that Mr. Woods, Nellie's dad, played the violin. Then they'd go up to Stockwell's and tell them, well, with all those girls up there and the guys that were boarding there. Then they'd go over in this, is that on? Well, I shouldn't call it that, should I?
I think everyone probably knows what it is now.
Well, let's say they'd go over in the flat south of town and round up the people there. And that's what there was in Beauville. We'd have our dances. Beauville's had a piano, but of course none of them ever went there because they didn't. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Beauville were the most wonderful people in the world. And, of course, the girls, I just loved them. I was in between the two of them. But they didn't go to affairs like this or socialize, although they weren't a bit high hat, I'll tell you that. They were really nice. And I know
they just didn't think it was proper?
Well, I don't know, or were they just weren't interested? I don't know. But I know the girls and I used to, when they were home from school, we used to spend our summers horseback all the time. I rode Mrs. Beauville's horse. And, well, we were never home, that's all. We were always out horseback riding. And as I talked to Gwen over there, she said, of course, Gwen has traveled all over the world, and she was in the Orient 5 years, several trips to England. But she said I could remember things that happened there that, until I mentioned them, she couldn't remember them.
Hmm. What things did you remember from them?
Oh, for instance, one time Dorothy had, her horse was young and frisky, and I rode Mrs. Beauville's horse. It was a big horse, but it was plenty frisky. And Gwen had a, well, I guess you'd call it an old nag. Because we used to race a lot and she'd always lose. And Mr. Beauville was breaking a horse for Gwen. And I don't think he'd ridden it over 4 or 5 times. And Sam DeFrance took care of their horses and their cows, so on and so forth. So we went up there one time and we just coaxed him into saddling that horse. And he did. Well, we had heard that they had killed a bear up at Camp 8. That was up above Collins in there someplace. I can't remember where. It wasn't very far, so we decided we'd ride up and see it. Of course, we raced up there. And we rushed right up, and we had that bear hanging out there, and the horses all bolted. And back through the fields, and I know we come across Potlatch Creek, and Dorothy's horse cut its foot on a piece of barbed wire that was in the creek. And Mr. Beauville wasn't too happy with us. Mm-hmm. Gwen said, well, we never were restricted. We could ride where we want to. And I said, you remember that? Yes. She said, I think I do now. But she rode it and was fine. So after that, she rode that horse. And then when the girls went to Bruno Hall in Spokane to school, I would always go. They kept their cows across the railroad track and in that meadow. And I'd always go bring in the cows for them. And I can remember that. We had wonderful times. And then we used to go up there at Collins, almost across the road from Collins, or in there someplace, is what they call Little Ruby Creek, but it was dry, and we used to go up there and pick up those garnets. And Mrs. Beauville had a necklace made for Gwen out of those. I asked her about it when I saw her over at Mercer Island, and she said, I don't know whatever happened to that. But she showed us a ring that Mr. Bovell had made for Mrs. Bovell and Tiffany's in New York. And they were two garnets, and then in the center, this beautiful diamond. And she said that they told them there at Tiffany's that those were real rubies. She showed me the ring when I was over there last winter at her place at Mercer Island.
You mean the rubies were from?
From, instead of garnets, they called them here. She said they told her father at Tiffany's that those weren't garnets, they were real rubies. So I don't know. But, I know we used to have. And then after the girls went to school on a weekend or Saturday, Georgia Hayes and I used to go down. Of course, her folks knew all the railroad men. Mine did. And if we'd go downtown, we'd get on the chaise, and we'd go up to Camp Aiton and eat dinner up there with them, then ride back. That was our pastime on weekends.
But you'd eat up with the logging men.
Mm-hmm. And they cook up there. When we were there at that time, was a Jay Baker. Now, Mr. Miller mentions another cook in there, but that was after we were gone. I talked to Pelton's about not long after we were gone. When we were there, there was this Jay Baker, and his family were also from Princeton, but I don't remember that he ever moved them up there. But now that's the picture I was trying to find of the camp, because this Jay Baker's in it, and the Flunky and all the others. I'll tell you, if you leave me your address, I'll look this evening and see if I can find that anyplace. And if I can't, I'll mail it over to you.
Okay.
Because he was a cook there, and he was cook when we left. Now, I never knew this other man that they talk about. Of course, that's after we were gone. Another thing, they had no jail removal. And if they did have occasion to take care of someone, they'd put them on a train and take them to Moscow. And there was no cop. Pat Malone wasn't there when we lived there. But they seldom was in. I suppose that they were fights. I don't know. I don't remember them. But if they were, why, evidently didn't amount to anything.
Do you ever remember them taking someone over to Moscow?
I didn't pay too much attention. I guess it's too little. No. Now, another thing, someone told him there were three saloons. They never were, but those two. And this Green Chambers that he mentioned in there, the bootlegged, in later years, he was my dad's bartender. Mm-hmm. And he came up from Princeton, intended bar for my dad. And Jap Chambers, that they said had the other saloon, was his brother. And he never worked in either one of the saloons. I can't remember who Alec Black had working for him. But I do remember that Green Chambers tended bar for my dad. And they never were but the two saloons in Bovell. That I know. And because, as I said, we moved out when they weren't going to grant any more license. And we moved back to Princeton. I think E.K. Parker must have moved up there shortly after that. And by the way, if you were to talk to Johnny Mallory at St. Mary's, he could verify a lot of this. Mm-hmm. Because he and Frank were up there quite a bit. They came out here from Michigan, as I told you. And Johnny is still alive. But that's only one of those lumberjacks that I can remember, that I know of, that's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Do the lumberjacks come into town much?
Oh, yeah, they come in every Saturday night. And he used to go to the dances. Mm-hmm. And like I've heard my mother and some of them say they come in and they dance and they were always gentlemen. No, see, when my dad had the saloon there in Princeton, so many of them used to come in. Oh, another thing, like I told you, my mother used to catch the 4 o'clock train out from Beauville.
In the morning.
And take all the checks down to Blues and get cash and dig back up so that my dad could cash their checks when he come in and have money to go on.
And did she do that every morning?
Weekends. Or on paydays, I suppose it was. And then that Jess Dillman that he mentions that lured that girl into a cave and killed her. They lived out south of Princeton quite a little ways, and he used to come in there to the dances. That happened after we left Beauville, of course.
But did Indians come through there very much?
I never remember an Indian ever being in there. They could have been, but I don't ever remember it, no. Let's see, I don't know.
Were the Beauvilles somewhat more formal than most of the other people up there?
They didn't seem to be with us, no. They were just... Mrs. Beauville taught sewing the second year we were there in our school. She was very nice and patient. Mr. Beauville was. Everyone liked them. And as I understand it later, and in this book, they were quite formal. But that wasn't when they first opened the town up.
And when they left, they went to Spokane.
Gwen told me, now I'm not positive about this, but seemed Gwen told me last year they went to Coeur d'Alene, and then they went down into Oregon, and that's where they were when Mr. Beauville died. Now, where the Mrs. Beauville was, she didn't say. Of course, I only visited there a couple of hours, and we had so much to catch up on, but no, I can't remember that they were in any way whatsoever, you know, that ever tried to make people feel inferior, because neither one of them did. They were just wonderful. And I think that everybody in that town loved both of them.
How did Mr. Vogel support the family? Was it with the store?
Well, they had that store, and I don't remember where they must have had a few groceries. I don't remember. I do remember that they had gloves and work clothes for the loggers. I can remember that part of it. And I also know that when anyone needed a doctor, they always went to Palouse to Dr. Harvest, and there were two brothers. Had a hospital in Blues, Dr. Dave and Dr. Matt. Dr. Matt was a surgeon. Now, after we left, Mrs. Beauville got them to put in a hospital up there, and I didn't know until Gwen told me her mother was a registered nurse.
But she didn't treat very many people.
Well, Gwen said she did, but see, you know, when you're a little kid like that and flitting around, you don't pay attention to those things. So I imagine she probably did, and even before they opened the town up, as I understand it, that any of them would be hurt and she would take care of them. They were both always ready to lend a helping hand. I know now these Smiths that lived over south of town, they had Lay and one of the Rogers relation. There was a Blanche Smith and an Eva Smith. Eva was near my age. And I believe it was Robert, one of the boys. I can't remember the other's name. Three in that family had typhoid fever. And one of the Rogers. And they, Eva died, and this boy died. I don't think there was a death in the Rogers, but they buried them. There was no cemetery then. They buried them out in their backyard. Well, it rained so terribly much, and the casket pushed its way right up through the ground. I can remember how the rest of them were affected by that. It was just terrible. And also, by the way, as I said, this Samuels that built next to my folks' place built this rooming house and dance hall. And he's the one who used to beat his wife unmercifully. She had two little children. And as I remembered, it was 3 or 4 weeks after he'd given her such a beating one time, she died. Well, now, when they buried her, they came out of Beauville and came up around sort of a hill and turned around. I hadn't been out to the Beauville Cemetery, but it was out a road almost like that. And she was the first person that I ever knew of that was buried in Beauville. Now, Evelyn Pelton says they buried her down in the flat, but Evelyn wasn't there. Somebody told her. But I do remember we came up this just sort of little incline and then turned around.
Sort of swung around.
Swung around. And I, where it says the Beauville Cemetery, as I remembered, it was out on that road. Johnny Mallory could straighten you on that, and I think that...
You think that she might have been buried in what's now the Beauville Cemetery?
Right? I think that she was, that was the way I've always understood it, and if I go to Beauville again, I'm going to have someone drive in there and see. Because I definitely know that she was not buried down in the flat.
Now, where was Poverty Flat that you talked about?
South of town.
Okay, now would it have been across the railroad tracks?
No, no.
Was it still? Okay.
No, no.
Okay.
Right straight on south.
Right straight south.
Shall I tell you something?
Who lived there?
Uh-huh.
Well, it wasn't called Poverty Flat because people... Why was it called Poverty Flat?
I don't know. It wasn't because the people were poor.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't
now
know.
Now, how did it get... Didn't you tell us...
I think possibly, as I remembered, some lumberjack down there one time said something called a Poverty Flat and the name stuck. No, it wasn't because the people were poor. But that's the only name I ever knew it by. And another thing, now this picture he's got in here, I was going to show you, if I can find this. I wish I could have found that picture of, '88. Well, it just shows a picture.
No, I was
looking for the barber shop, that Anderson's name that had the barber shop. I don't remember his name. Let's see. Well, Minnis, 104-139. Let's see what that is.
Oh, you're 164.
Well, 164. Oh, yes. Now here it says the A.A. Anderson family, Rear, Minnis, and Dennis, and Beulah.
Oh.
Minnis and Dennis were Mr. Anderson's nephews. Because, as I said, I've got a picture someplace who should have a Minnis.
Were they twins?
Minnis and Dennis? I don't remember. I don't know where they were or not. And their oldest son was Clay. Here's Clay. Kyle in front of Dennis, Clay and Kate. Well, I remember Clay because he went to school in Princeton. And this Mr. Anderson had a barber shop in Princeton, and then he moved to Beauville. But Minnis and Dennis came out here from Tennessee. because we used to just love to hear Menace talk. They weren't his sons. They were his nephews.
Oh, what was that first school at Bowville like?
Just a little one room. Oh, I really don't know what size you'd call it. Well, I could almost name all the kids that were in there. I think. I believe I can. Give me another piece of paper here and let me see. Oh, let's see. We'll begin with Lavina Jones. And then Florence, Eva, Robert. I can't think of that other Smith boy's name. Now, they were no relation. Mm-hmm. To Ernie. And then, let's see. Who did I say was the first ones there?
You mean that came?
Oh, yeah. Hayes, Job, Rogers didn't have any. Oh, and the Woodses. It was Nellie and Edna. And then of the Hayeses, let's see, there was Arnold, Mark, Georgia, let's see, Arnold, Mark, well, I got to count them up now to see there was Frank, Jeff, and Arnold. And Mark and Georgia and Clay. Oh, Dewey. Oh, let's see. Arnold, Mark, Georgia, Dewey. Let's see. Frank.
That Bune Hall?
What?
That Bune Hall, that was in Spokane?
Bruno.
Bruno?
Oh, uh-huh.
And that's where they went to school?
That's where they went to school. They had in the papers Coeur d'Alene, but I said to Gwen, I thought that was in Spokane. She said it was. Mm-hmm. And these were all in one room.
How many did it come to?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Mm-hmm. All students in one room. I'm just trying to think if there was anyone else, but I don't. I can't think of anyone. Mm-hmm. I told you the first depot agent's name was,
You told it to me.
Frank McAllister.
Do you remember any things that happened in that school? You know...
Shall I tell about our dancing?
Oh, sure.
Well, we had 15-minute recess. And about all there was to do in Bowville, the older people danced, and they always took all of us young ones, and we danced. And Miss Rodner, we had a 15-minute recess, and she whistled, and she taught all of us kids that wanted to know how to dance, how to waltz. That's where I learned how to waltz. We all just loved her. Mr. Nevitt was more strict. But She taught us all how to waltz. I can remember that very vividly.
Would she sing along? Or?
She'd whistle. I used to have a picture of her, but I think that was in my sister's things. Well, it was in Mom's things, and I didn't get it.
What did you kids do for fun in the wintertime, would you?
Oh, coast. On that hill back of the school. We all had sleds, and we'd all coast down there. Spend hours, snowball fights, and you name it. That was our pastime. We always played out in the snow. And then, you know, the snow would, it would snow and it'd be so hard on top, we used to walk on the crust. Sometimes we'd even ride our sled down on the crust. You know, you don't see that anymore. The snow doesn't crust over like that. Mm. That was a beautiful country around there. Oh, that was beautiful. As I said, when we moved up there, we went up in a hack. And they were those old corduroy roads. And I don't know, it was out this side of Bovell someplace. I can't remember where. My dad stopped the team and we got out. And we kids would try to look at the top of those big tall pines. And we'd have to lie right flat on our back and look up because it's so far up there wouldn't be any branches. I know Mrs. Bovell. I hadn't seen her after we left, but my folks did, and I don't remember where, and they were leaving. She said, when they started cutting the timber down around here, I couldn't stay here. It was so beautiful before then. That really was a beautiful country. And Potlatch Creek went down through the meadow there. We used to catch fish in there, and it was a good swimming hole. Now, he shows the pictures when there was a flood there, and show, but there was no flood when we were there. That must have been afterward. He showed Mr. and Ms. Bovell in that boat, but that was after we left.
Was all the timber pretty much really big back then?
Yes, a lot of it. As I remember. I can remember most vividly going into Bovell. Oh, isn't there sort of a little incline? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was this side of that where we stopped, and the trees were right up by the side of the road, just a wagon road through. Oh, that was truly beautiful. I have never seen a place like that since. And I can understand why Mrs. Bovell felt so bad when he started cutting it closer to town. There was another camp up in there someplace, but I don't know what they called it or where it was. The only thing I remember is Camp 8.
Mm-hmm. And there was just one other camp up there?
As I remember it, they might have been more. Now, I wouldn't say for sure. Johnny Mallory could tell you that, but I don't know. Only thing I remember that Georgia and I used to get on those chaise and ride up there, and then we'd ride back. And it was a beautiful country. Seems a shame that they have to go and cut the timber down and run. Of course, I think Bovells were there when they had that fire in 1910, according to that book, weren't they? I think they were.
I think they might have left at 11.
Yeah, I think they were there at that time. Oh, those big white pines. Oh, they were beautiful.
Well, that fire, that didn't come close to town.
Yeah, my sister was up there visiting this Dudley Hobbs's family. And they had them all go down and had them set on a boxcar because it was, now which direction's coming from, I don't know, I don't remember, because they was afraid it's going to burn the town. Well, Nellie tells in here about her, you know, putting two hats on her head and running. Well, that was a fire. Mm-hmm. They were
that up there. That was the Beals Butte one then, I think, in 1914. Could that be right?
Was that when it was?
I think so.
I don't know.
Well, the Beals Butte one, I know, threatened the town.
Well, I don't know. I don't know which one it was then. This is Bovell's second school, located in upper block of Main Street. Yeah. 1909-1910 term. Well, then they built one, evidently, when we left.
Was that school that you were in that first year? Was that an old homesteader's cabin?
Or no, they built a new one. Mm-hmm. They built a new one.
Did you eat over at the Bovilles much?
Huh?
Did you eat with the Bovilles much?
Well, I used to practically, when the girls were home, I used to practically live down there. If it was stormy days, Mrs. Bovill had a wonderful library of girls' books. You know, these little Louisa May Alcott's books. And we would either stay upstairs in the girls' room over their store and post office, the log one, or else we would go into, now where the dining room was at the hotel. There was no door going into their, there was a huge, great big room. Mm-hmm. And, or else we'd go in there by the fireplace. And we want something to eat, or we like toast marshmallows. And this little Japanese came there. And I remember we tried to teach him English. All he could say was salt and yes, please. Mm-hmm. And we'd call him and we'd make him understand what we wanted. Or else maybe Mayor wrote a note, I don't know. And he'd go over the store and bring him back and hand him through the window. Well, Gwen, there was a beautiful big rug, and I'm not sure that doesn't show in here. Bearskin. There was in
yeah,
one.
There is a picture.
Yeah, well, at one of those, I know Gwen shot this bear.
When
she
shot it?
When she's with Mr. Bovill out one time. And he had it all fixed up, you know, and it was on the wall. I think it shows that in here. Oh, that was a beautiful place.
And you'd sit on the rug and read?
No, they had other rugs down in front of the fireplace, and they had built-in seats by the windows, I remember. Mm-hmm. But we'd spend most of our time lying on a rug, some sort, don't remember what. Floor was polished, beautiful floor, first polished floor I ever remember seeing. And in front of the fireplace, we'd lay there and read and toast marshmallows and eat them on rainy days. And on the days that were nice, we were never in the house. We was always out horseback riding. Yeah, we had some wonderful times. I'm just trying to remember if there were any more students there that went to school, but I can't. But I just can't remember.
Are there any other things you remember about Bovill? I can't think of anything more.
I can't think of anything. Oh, I remember I think it was the first 4th of July. I'm not sure it was the first 4th of July or the second one when you were there. They ran an excursion train down to Deary. And we went down there. And I'll never forget that either. They went up on top of
Potato Hill?
Potato Hill, Spud Hill or Potato Hill, and shot off fireworks. And we all stood downtown and watched it. That was, talk about a thrill if that really wasn't. It was beautiful. And you know, I never have been to the top of Parada Hill. In fact, I was raised right around Princeton here, and I've never been to the top of Gold Hill. But I remember that, I believe, although I'm not just sure, whether it was the first, fourth we were there, I think it probably was. Oh no, it was the second one, because Mr. Nevitt went down on a train.